Well, hello everyone. This is John Alls, and on behalf of Independence Baptist Church, I'd like to welcome you back to the broadcast this morning. Now, for those of you that might be listening for the first time, or maybe you've just missed the last few messages, we're currently studying in the book of Matthew chapter 5, and this passage is often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, and was actually a sermon that Jesus Christ himself preached some 2,000 years ago. Now, the last two messages were discussing the spiritual standards that Jesus described in this sermon, and this week we'll show what Jesus taught about inward purity. So here's Pastor Reynolds as he picks up in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30.
In Matthew 5, verse 27 through verse 30, Jesus Christ emphasizes inward purity. Read with me the book of Matthew 5, verse 27 through verse 30. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. The message before us is very similar to the message on last week's broadcast, as it also begins with the words, Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time. Christ is here referring to the teachings of the spiritual leaders of the people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I don't think he is saying that what they have taught is wrong. He is saying they haven't gone far enough in their teaching. For example, it is obviously wrong to commit adultery, right? But here Jesus goes further into what real adultery is. He declares to his hearers that if any man looks on a woman to lust after her, he hath already committed adultery with her in his heart. You see, verse 27, Christ again declares that any law can only go so far. Men may judge adultery, which is wrong, but they cannot rightly judge the source for adultery. But every individual is well able to judge himself. This is what Christ wants his hearers to really understand. You see, the beginning of adultery is in the heart, which Christ desires his hearers to really get. If they rightly understand that adultery begins in their own heart, it can be stopped. They can stop it because they understand the source of the difficulty. They understand the source of the problem. But if they say the woman is the problem, then the sin of adultery will continue. Many societies attempt to stop adultery by forcing the women to completely cover themselves, actually hiding their bodies from the eyes of men. But they do not understand the problem actually begins in the heart of the men. On the other hand, in some societies, women uncover themselves in public, leaving little to the imagination. And women are the cause of lust in the hearts of men. You see, adultery is not really a man problem or a woman problem. It is a people problem. There is both a man and a woman involved in adultery, right? I do believe, however, that men have more problems lusting after women than women do lusting after men. This is why Christ spoke primarily to the men and not to the women. In verse 30 and 31, is Christ really saying that we should pluck out our eyes or cut off our hands? Well, no, of course not. He is saying that the lust of this body cannot be followed if any person wants to go to heaven. What Christ is saying is that every effort must be put forth to not follow the desires of the flesh, regardless of what those desires are. The application Christ is making is concerning adultery and the effort each person must put forth to remain physically pure. It is also very true that much effort must be put forth to remain physically and spiritually pure regardless of the sin involved. Now, I'm going to repeat myself a little bit here, and it's for a reason. But notice, Christ is not saying, I would say it the third time, Christ is not saying to physically pluck out your right eye or to cut off your right hand. He is saying that the principal thing is to be pure both physically and spiritually. To emphasize this point, note that Christ said to pluck out the right eye, that's in verse 29, and to cut off the right hand, verse 30. What? He said what? In verse 29, Jesus Christ said to cut off the right hand, or to pluck out the right eye. Is this significant? Well, of course it is. You see, Christ did not say you need to pluck out the left eye or to cut off the left hand if the lusting continued. He didn't say that. If a sin is to destroy this body, which God created, therefore it is also a sin to destroy the right eye or the right hand. What Christ is saying is that regardless of what bothers you, regardless of that, it is much better to cast that thing completely away from you so you will be able to concentrate on spiritual things. Having the whole or the complete body is not what Christ is speaking of. He is speaking in spiritual terms, not physical terms. He is saying that regardless of what it is that hinders you from concentrating on spiritual things, get rid of that physical thing. John 6 and verse 53 through verse 58 is another hard scripture for some. It is like the passage of Matthew 5 verse 27 through verse 30. Notice in the book of John 6 and verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, that is, truly, truly, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Well, is that really confusing or not? In John 6 and verse 60, some of his disciples declared that many of the things that he said was just hard to understand. Well, it is hard to understand, is it not? But think of this. What Jesus Christ is really saying is that the person that is devouring him, the person that is like him, what Christ means here is that we actually become more and more and more and more like Christ, the more that we partake of him. This is really what he's saying. If we want to really be a Christian that is Christ-like, we need to do the things that Christ did. We need to follow him and not follow the desires that this world has for us. In Matthew 5, verse 27 through verse 31, and in John 6, 53 through 58, Christ is not speaking physically. Rather, he is speaking spiritually. To show the folly of what men teach, read again Matthew 5, verse 31 and verse 32. The Bible said here in this place, it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Verse 32. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. You see, the Jews, like many in our present society, believed a divorce settled forever a marriage. There are people that believe that. That a divorce settles forever that marriage. Christ said, the results are very different from what men say. Christ says that when a divorced woman remarries, she commits adultery, and who she marries the second time also commits adultery. You see, men often rebel at what God teaches. But please notice that verse 31 begins with the word, it hath been said, speaking of what men teach. And verse 32 begins with the words, but I say unto you. What in the world is the purpose of all this? It is clearly to get men to see that they are sinners, that they are guilty of sins, and they need an eternal Savior. Every person has an eternity someplace. Every person, when you die, you're going to heaven or you are going to hell. Which one will it be? You see, no person can straighten out the things that we have made crooked. Every person needs someone to help them. Every person needs someone to aid them. Every person needs someone to actually straighten out that which they have made crooked. This is exactly what happened to me. When I was a sinner, I could not straighten it out. I could not stop being a sinner. This is what Jesus Christ is saying, that He is the all-sufficient Savior. He is the one that can wash away sins. He's the one that can forgive you of your sins. He's the only one that can do this. There are things in your life that you cannot straighten out, regardless of how much you want them straightened out. Christ can forgive you of every sin you have ever sinned. And if you rely on Him for the rest of your life, never trusting in yourself or what you do, but dedicate yourself to Him, He can take care of everything you have messed up. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ can do all of that. If you are lost this morning, we pray that you'll just come to Jesus Christ, recognize that you're a lost sinner, and trust Jesus Christ that He can wash away all of your sins. If there's things that you just don't understand, then you need to trust Jesus Christ with all of those things. He can take care of that. That's the honest truth. Jesus Christ can forgive you, and Jesus Christ can give you eternal life.
You know, earlier Pastor Reynolds talked about these standards being given to show us that we're sinners. The Bible tells us in another place that the law was basically our schoolmaster to bring us to Jesus. You know, and we need to see that we are sinners and we have no hope but through Jesus Christ. We like to think that sin is just acting out our wicked thoughts. But this passage reminds us that God judges inside. He judges our hearts. God sees things that no one else can see, and He knows when we're committing adultery in our heart. And if you're lost, we pray that you'll see your condition before a holy God, that you'll believe in Jesus Christ, that you'll repent of your sins, and you'll accept Christ as your personal Savior. Now, if you'd like to learn more about salvation, please come and see us. We'd love to be able to talk to you about it. You can find us at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. Each Sunday, we start with a Sunday school class at 10 a.m. We have worship services at 11. And then in the afternoon, we'll have worship services at 4:30. Now, if you're unable to come, but you still need to know more about this, you can check out our website at independencebaptist.org. From there, you'll be able to hit a button to contact Pastor Reynolds via email, and you'll also find a lot of different books and articles as well as audio messages that deal with this topic of salvation. Now, as we close, let me thank you for listening this morning, and we're so thankful that the Lord allowed us to join you, and we pray that you'll be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.